You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by bestselling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. A woman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl, one that the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Tamaya is just the woman he needs, with her wholesome, clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we've got a great show for you this evening, and it's very nice to be back, despite some of the technical difficulties you've been in, and me being out sick, but I'm back, and we're ready to go, and we have a very hot new author that we're interviewing tonight. Her name is Desi Smith. Desi, say hello to everyone.
Hello. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. I've read your book, You Can't Escape Your Destiny.
Yes.
That was good. I thought I was, like, in the middle of something. It's just like, when it first started off, I'm like, what did I just step into? and I like, you know, paranormal romance, but this was, like, blew me away. It's like, it was like I'm walking in. It's like, I felt like I was a classroom, too. I mean, it was good.
I'm glad you enjoyed
it. I like it. Yes. So tell us about your main character.
So, from You Can't Escape Destiny, my main character's name is Solange, and she's a fire elemental princess, so she has the power of fire, but recently she has been, like, her fire hasn't been red, it's been blue instead, and she doesn't know what's going on with that, but she's not worried about that right now because, like I said, she's a princess, and it's finally time for her to marry a prince, and she does not like that.
No,
she's independent.
She was determined.
Yeah, no, not at all. And actually, the story starts off with her. She's at the princess preparation retreat. So that's them cleansing, you know, their soul, their bodies, you know, making sure they're pure for their prince that they're supposed to marry and be with for the rest of their lives. And instead of focusing on why her fire is, you know, blue, she's trying to figure out some way to not marry this prince, this man. She has no idea who he is. So...
Dude, that's, yeah. I don't blame her. She's like, she's a modern woman. So is there like a certain time frame or a through time that this takes place? Because it's just like you've created this really, I mean, cool world that just, you know, it's easy to jump into. And it was just like, just from the gate. And like you, the whole ceremony, things that they have to go through, the purification. There are so many different things coming into play there that I was just blown away. That this is like, wow, it's like, okay, am I in a Tolkien or am I in a, you know, Harry Potter? It's like everything combined, you know, there's everything mm-hmm. from fantasy to, I mean, just, and there's a little romance, there's a little something in there. So we're going to get to know it a little bit, but let me back up. So what inspired you to start writing?
Let's see. My mom, she's the one who actually inspired me to start writing. She would encourage and ground us, and we couldn't watch TV, like we couldn't go outside, and she would suggest, why don't you read a book? So I got in trouble a lot, so I was reading a lot.
And, reading a lot.
And one day I ran out of books to read at the house. Like, I went through everything in the house, and I was telling her, I was like, you know, Mom, why don't I write a book? I had to be like 12 or 13, and I was like, can I do that? Like, can I write a book? And she was like, I don't see why not. You know, go for it. Like, write it. And nice. I wrote my first book, and the story of it was Flowbee. And that's actually the name of my publishing company, Flowbee Publishing.
Okay. So mm-hmm. What was Flowbee about? I mean, if you don't, I know we're jumping around, but yeah.
So I was very interested in the Princess Diaries. I don't know if you saw the movie or not.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was reading that series at the time, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to create a black princess. So that's what Flowbee was about, and it's her discovering that she's a princess, and her mom is the queen, but she kind of ran away from her destiny. So, yeah.
Ah, so it's the typical obvious, you know, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do this my way. Their whole life is planned out for them, but no, that's not what I really want.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I like it. Yeah. So Flowbee. So you've been writing for most of your life then?
Yes.
Yes. And did you always know you wanted to do it, or just when you fell into it, you think, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
You know, actually, no. At one point, I wanted to be a fashion designer. And mm-hmm. I remember it was sixth grade, and, like, we were supposed to, like, dress up with what we wanted to do, you know, as far as career-wise. And I designed a little outfit and everything, and I came up there with the outfit that I designed, and I was like, I'm going to be a fashion designer. But as we can see, I had other, I guess, aspirations, and I decided
you
to go in that direction instead.
Yes. And I, for one, am glad that you did, because this is my first book that I've read from you, and it blew me away. I was impressed. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Now, this I like, because I've always been a fan of, you know, I used to watch The Hobbit, and I used to watch, I actually read The Hobbit when I was a teenager, I think, and I got into that. So it's like when I was reading just some of the things that you had mentioned in the book, I was like, wow, now she really goes deep, and it just makes it, this, I could see this happening, you know?
Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Yes, I really did. So tell us, who published your first book? Did you self-publish, or did you go for try for traditional?
I actually looked for a traditional publisher, and it didn't really work out for me, you know, now that I think of it. Okay, so I found one traditioning publishing house, and they were telling me that they wanted to change the entire book, so that was definitely no. I found another publisher, and I signed the contract and everything, and she told me, you know what, the genre that I write in, she does not write or represent, and she just did not think I was a good fit. So what I decided to do was just, got my hopes
all high.
You get
that far and then just like, oh, okay.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. She got me excited, and she was like, I do not represent, you know, that genre. And I was like, but you read the book, didn't you?
You read the book. Exactly. How'd you get that far without realizing that this is not what you represent usually?
Yeah, I guess she didn't really think about it till she thought about it. I don't know. But I decided, you know what? I'm just going to publish it myself, and I haven't looked back since.
That's amazing. I love to hear that. I did the very same thing. My stuff wasn't traditional in any sense of the word, and I like books like that, that you think outside of the box. It's not cookie cutter. I mean, I get it. There's a method to certain way things are done, but I really like how you've stepped outside of that. You didn't stick to any one thing that just, you know, you checked off all the boxes that I checked off. It was like, I'm going to make them do this, you know.
Yep.
So you're a lot like your character. So I'm just like, I'm not doing
exactly.
it that way. I'm going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So what, in your opinion, are the most important elements of writing?
That's a good question. Let's see. I think the main important element of writing is writing what you want to write, you know? I think we fall into, we try to write what people would want us to write. Like, I know for me, since I do write paranormal romance, a lot of people tell me, oh, you write that type of stuff. Like, I don't read that type of stuff, you know? And that can discourage a lot of people and make them change, you know, what they write, because they want to appeal to that particular audience. But, you know, right. I let people know, like, yes, when I say paranormal, we're talking dragons, we're talking witches, we're talking elves. Like, that is the main focus of my stories, and that's what I enjoy. I watch a lot of that stuff on television, and that's what I write about, you know?
Exactly, and it works.
Yeah.
It really does. There's very few people, you know, I mean, even after True Blood being on the air, you think people would like, okay, this is now, you know, and Charlaine does hers very down home, just like everyday people. So this is, you know, it's not so far-fetched for the big public, so they're pretty much familiar with it. But, yes, you find there's a huge paranormal crowd of readers.
Yes.
I will tell you that. There's a lot of people. Because, I mean, you have to delve more into your imagination to create an entire world, and that's what you've done. So which came first for you? Was it the plot or the characters?
The plot comes first, and then as I'm writing, I kind of leave like a space for the character's name, and then I like to search, or whatever name stands out to me the most, that's the name I'll use for the character.
So you don't do a whole looking up baby names?
You know, sometimes I do for Solange's name from the book You Can't Escape Destiny. I actually use, you know, Beyonce's sister, Solange. I just thought, oh, that's a dope name. Why not, you know, use her name for this?
It works. It works. That's the first thing I thought of when you said her name was Solange. I was like, oh, that's the,
Right.
So then it made sense because your cover kind of threw me, because I wasn't expecting, even though I read the blurb, I saw the cover, and I'm still thinking, okay, you know, this is cool-looking diamond on the front. So I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be something else. But as soon as I started reading, I realized, I was like, oh, okay, I got it. It's like your Destiny Child, Solange. Okay, I started piecing that together real quick. I was like, oh, okay, so she threw me with the cover. But
I had a different connotation for the cover. If you recall, as you were reading, the different kingdoms that they're from, they're all gemstones. I was thinking the cover resembles a gemstone, and I was like, maybe connection there.
You said she's the Rose Quartz Kingdom, I think, was right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you have like a diamond on the cover. So that fits. Yeah. They're all gems.
Yeah.
I like how you put that together. That's pretty neat.
Thank you.
So how did you come up with the title?
How did I come up with the title? You know what? Actually, I don't really remember. I know that originally this book was supposed to be a part of this anthology with another group of authors. And so basically we like drew a topic out the hat, you know, and it was either royalty and that was it. So, the book could go anywhere, but it had to have some type of royal person inside of it. And, of course, the anthology kind of fell through. But at that point, I already wrote the book. So I was all like, why not just publish it with my publishing company, you know? So,
Well, I'm glad you did, for one, because I'm looking forward to book two. Because I finished that, I'm like, whoa. I mean, I was eating lunch and just reading. You know? I was like, hey, wait a minute now. There's got to be more. You're off, definitely off to a great start. Because I was really like, okay, so now what? Because and the way it ended, I'm like, which I'm not going to make, you know, any spoilers. No spoiler alerts here. We don't do that. So, because I want everyone to get it. Because Mahogany says, yes, get this book. Look at her other books, because I looked at, now I got to find your, read your witch series. Because I love the covers on those, too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the more I started looking through and familiarizing myself with your books, and I like those. I was looking, I was like, okay, I like her. I like this. I really do. Because I try to find something that I can identify with. And some books I've read where I've actually, they were good, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. But no, this was, no. Because I love paranormal stuff anyway. So it just, but this like stretched me beyond, you know, the usual paranormal even that I write. So I was like, okay, yes. Because I've never done a dragon shifter before, but I love dragons. And I always wondered how to kind of put them in there. Because it's like, it's one of those, yeah, that's the ultimate shifter right there. Because you are
big,
powerful. Yes. So
well,
he's not
the
something
king
that
of
be.
All the shifters.
Yes. And the way you described him, that's a new book boyfriend right there. You know, I was talking to another one of my author sisters earlier today, and I said, you got to listen to this show because you need to join our group. I'm going to talk to the head lady. I would love for you to be in the group because Nova is the sexiest dragon shifter I've read. And I've read a couple, but he takes the cake, especially with the purple and the tattoo.
If you love him like that, okay, so what I do with my characters, I like to have them illustrated because I want people to really visualize what I'm visualizing. I'm going to have him drawn out, and we're going to have, like you said, the tattoo and everything. So you get to see him in person.
Oh, yeah, I would love that because I could picture him in my head clearly, the way you described him. I was like, wow. This guy is, I mean, not only huge, but, you know. He is this huge big dragon, too. Yeah, I'm gonna say that dragon. Come on, what are you expecting? You know, you can't
exactly.
No dragon with no.
I
hope not a baby dragon. Nope.
Not a baby.
This is not toothless. This is a big one. I will just say that. I know. I'm sorry. I told you we laugh on the show. We have fun. So. Describe your writing space. Like, do you have a certain time that you sit down and write, or do you have a full-time job that you work or write part-time?
So, let's see. I do have a full-time job, and you'll never guess what I do.
What do you do?
I am a teacher.
And I can do that. You're a fellow teacher. Yay.
Yeah, and I teach English.
You have
English.
A lot of teachers. Yes.
Yeah.
See, I teach English as a second language, so there you go.
Really? See, look at that. It's just, No, it's just easier with a teacher in writing. So, okay, so yeah, I write part-time. I write at night, which is crazy because, you know, with teaching, you have to be up early, but that's when inspiration hits. So
no, that's when
instead
usually
of being
it does.
Yeah.
It really does. Well,
so
I mean,
I'll be up until like... So I'll
like
be
three,
up
four
like
in the morning.
12 or 1. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just writing.
Yeah. That's really how it gets me. And I try to write during the day, but sometimes it's just not. They don't talk. It's like I won't hear it until later. No, it's like silent.
I agree. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, around about 10 o'clock, you start. Hey, you know, wait a minute. I'm trying to watch a movie.
Exactly.
All day. Now you want to talk. Yes.
Man, you couldn't have said it better. Like, each time when you get ready to go to bed, it's like, now
yeah.
They're like, come on, we're ready.
Mm-hmm. It's like, now we got your attention. You're about to go to sleep. You're quiet. Here we go. No, I'm
right.
About to sleep.
Oh, it's so annoying sometimes.
It is. Then I was like, I need to write this down so like I won't forget it. But I will write it to nope. He's sitting right here and write because I'll start dreaming it.
Right, that too. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Yes, you are.
You fall asleep and all of a sudden you are like in that realm and you're like, wait a minute, my dreams are not even mine now. Come on, it's gonna hijack the dream, and here we go.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand, like, when inspiration hits and you don't get it out, it stalks you until, you know, you release it. Like, it's a burden.
Typical day, like, when you ad posting, like, on social media, do you have, like, a certain time you do that, too, to keep up with your promotion?
Yes. So typically I do it from like 10 a.m. to 1. And I try to post 3 times out the week. Currently I'm posting every day. And it's because my erotica story released, what is this, June? Yeah, June 1st. So I've been posting snippets of the poem I created for the series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I post, like I said, 3 times out the week, and the posts will stay the same until a new book releases. So let's say right now it's all like erotic related posts. In July, it will change because I have another book releasing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, well, you told me the best time of the day for you is evening too. So I won't ask you that again. But what would you say is the most difficult part of writing?
I hate editing.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you.
And it's horrible. It's horrible. And like I, of course, you know, I pay for an editor to edit the story, but a lot of people aren't really aware. Like when the editor edits it, they send it back to you. You have to look over, you know, those edits, and then you send it back to them. And it's a game of back and forth until the edits are complete. And, I hate it. It's so time-consuming. And it's like you reread your work over and over and over. And then you start looking
mm-hmm.
at it like, maybe I should change or add. And you're like, no, no, no. It's good. Leave it alone.
Right.
It's maddening.
Yes. I agree. And especially, mm-hmm. I don't know, I was always teased because I will correct people sometimes, especially my children,
mm-hmm.
when they don't say use the correct English language. And they used to call me the grammar Nazi. And I'm like, okay, you can take that other part off of there, but just because I want you to speak English correctly does not mean I am like that. No, you cannot be around me and speak
it. I do it all the time with my students when I catch them saying something. I'm like, no. I'm like, you don't. It's something they always say, and they add an S to it. What is it?
Yeah.
I cannot think of it. And I'm like, that is not that word. Like, why are you? I cannot think of the word, but they add an S to it each time. I'm like, that is no.
I have seen mine, the word mine. They add an S to it, mines. What is that? No, this is not a mine.
I don't know.
It's not a coal mine that you're in, okay? Mine just, it shows, yes, this is my property. Mine. There's no S.
I just remember the word. It's light. So what they say is light.
Oh.
I'm like, what? I'm like, it's in, like, past tense. It has the ED in there. I'm like, why are you adding an extra E, you know, more
yes.
to the
extra syllable there?
Each time they do it. I liked it, Miss Morrow. No.
No, it's just like, that's it.
Right.
But, yeah, but, that gets me. My kids look at me sometimes. They're just like, yeah, we're not going to say anything. Because they'll know I'll say something. So what is your goal? Let me ask you. Do you plan on doing this as, like, a full-time thing eventually? Is it something that's one of your goals?
Yes, that is the end goal for me. Definitely full-time. I want to be one of those people who travels, you know, who's doing, like, book signings and stuff like that. Like, I want to make
mm-hmm.
this my career.
Definitely that is the ultimate thing, yes,
mm-hmm.
to have that freedom to, you know, just do the work and
yep.
not have to worry about all the other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Just like if I could create, that's fine. But yeah, promoting, that's one of my things too. So for
yeah.
myself, but I could do it for other people all day. But for myself, I just feel, you know, she doesn't really.
I understand.
So how much time do you actually, would you say you actually spend writing each day?
I've made a goal for myself, and I do 30 minutes at least each day. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
of course, I do more, but the goal is 30 minutes, so I'm always writing something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do you write outlines? And if so, do you stick to them?
Actually, I do. So when I was getting my master's in creative writing, I didn't even know outlining was a thing. Like, I was just going off the brain writing. But, you know, of course they have that, you know, just word vomit
yes.
on the page. That's all. But, of course, you know, they have the three-act structure, and that's the structure that they teach us to outline. And
mm-hmm.
I use that. And what I'm actually doing now, I'm developing, like, a master workshop class for outlining because I've kind of fine-tuned it. And my outlining process
oh, that's
is
great.
Very tedious.
well, see, you just
like,
found something else you could do.
Yeah. Yes, I am. It's done. I just have to upload it to this platform that I'm using. And I like to do it. To do an overall, and I like to do a chapter by chapter outline.
Yes, that's kind of how I do it, and most of the time, I'll try to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of the time, they change the story on me. It goes in a completely different direction. Like, that's not what you
yeah.
said before. You know, it's like, so where are we going with this? And I was really
like
bad at the flyby. Yeah, sometimes it is a flyby. You see your pants. But for the most part, I try to outline so I know where I'm going. And you're right. It's better to do it chapter by chapter than I have an idea of what needs to happen in this particular chapter.
Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything you would like to tell new authors? Or do you have any advice for them?
So I'm going to say again, write what you want to write. number two, write at least every day. And, you know, you don't have to do like 30 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. That's considered writing every day. And number three, you know, don't worry about the editing right now. You should just only be focusing on getting words on the paper.
Nice. Excellent. And for those of you just joining us, we are talking with paranormal author, romance author, Desi Smith, and she also has, you have some erotic books too, right?
Yes.
You were saying? Okay, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. More with Miss Desi Smith.
Woo. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Passion's Pride, Alejandra, an interracial romance author, Mahogany Silvering. Alejandra, the son of a jaguar king, who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believe that she is stolen from them. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king. But Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina, a human, his queen? Passion's Pride, Alejandro, a romance author, Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net.
Hey everyone, we're back and we are still talking with author Desi Smith. I almost said Desiree, I'm sorry. I mean, so how'd you come up with your author name?
Desi is actually my nickname, and Smith is my mom's maiden name.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's different. I like it, Desi Smith. That's really, now that you tell me the meaning behind it, that's pretty good. Let me ask you, do you find it more challenging to write the first book in a series or to write subsequent novels?
Definitely subsequent novels.
Right. You try to stay in character with each one and growing the story as your characters grow.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of difficult, too, when I'm writing different novels, so I sort of forget what, you know, one character was going through, and I'll focus on another character, and then sometimes in my mind I plan for the book to end or continue one way, but then once I get back on it, it goes in a whole different direction, so it's a little challenging at times.
Have you ever had to deal with writer's block?
Yes.
And how do you deal with that?
It's like it's taking time, basically focusing on something else. For me, since my genre is paranormal, maybe watching something paranormal that will spark, you know, the writing in me again, or going and exercising, maybe going out, just escaping it for a little bit and then coming back to it, that definitely helps.
Nice, yeah. That's a definitely good way to clear your head, kind of just... Because sometimes it's hard to sit down and just, okay, well, I'm going to write today, and then you look at the screen like, what do I want to say?
End up scrolling Facebook instead.
Right? That's another trap, too. That and Instagram, or here lately,
yes.
TikTok.
Oh, my gosh. TikTok, oh, Lord.
I know. My kids and my grandchildren are like, look at this. What is this? I see everybody and their mother on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, how many books have you written and published?
Let's see. Going through it in my mind, I want to say 10. Yeah, 10.
10, okay. And do you have a favorite?
Okay, so it's 10, right? But two of the books I've recently taken off, and I am redoing it, and this is my favorite book of all time. Like, this is the book I started writing after I finished the princess book that I made, and I really think, like, this book is going to be really special. But I'm older now, and I want to do things differently, so I am rewriting it, and I'm going to republish it this fall.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with a book maybe 10 years ago. I revisited it. Like, huh.
Did it do better?
Because
you
have
it?
Yes. It's like, okay, what was I thinking? I can make this better. What is this? So what is the most surprising thing you discovered while writing your books?
For me, it's just that I can actually, like, do this. Like, once people tell me that they read the book and they're like, oh, my gosh, it was so good. Or like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait for the next one. I'm like, man, I actually wrote something that somebody else enjoys, you know, like that. It still surprises me to this day.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, and it's good when someone can actually appreciate it because you put a lot of time, a lot of effort,
yes,
and real sweat equity, I say. Because this is like the time away from doing other things with your family, and you're back here writing, and you're rereading and editing, and I'm still getting to the point where I'm trying to get parcel out some, you know, someone else do it for me.
Agree. I agree.
I
need
a PA. There's a lot of PAs around. I got to snag one.
Oh, my gosh. Definitely get one. They are awesome.
Yes. That's what I think I do. So when was your first book published?
So the first book published was, 2020. It was 2015, and that's the series I told you that I took off. And the name of it was The Talented. So yeah, that was published. I didn't know what I was doing. The sales weren't really good at all. Like, oh my gosh, it was horrible. But I was just so ready to publish something, and that was the outcome.
I know. Sometimes we find ourselves in that little crunch. Like, okay, I just want to publish it.
Yep.
Like, yes, they're done. It's done. It's done. But, you know, then you realize, you go back through, and you're like, it's not ready.
Right, like, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking?
Well, exactly. Yeah, and I do look at my older work, and I'm like, what was that?
Right. I wonder if all artists do that, though. Like, does Stephen King, like,
Yes, a lot of people I've spoken to, they've done that. They'll look at their work, and it's like, And many authors that I've spoken to, we have the same thing, this, like, crippling fear, well, they're not going to like it. And then it turns out people like it and they start complimenting. And you're like, wait, they really do? Wait, I know I messed up here and there, but but again, there's always going to be a reader for every writer, because I don't have a library full of books from the same author. I have all different authors. So, yeah. So it's I read all types of books. I've everything from mystery to, you know, romance. I don't have a whole lot of romance books, actually. I read suspense books. I read a lot of Nora Roberts, Charlene Harris. I do have some, like, black authors that I read, too. But I've come to meet more of them, and I think more people that I find, more authors are a lot like me than what I thought before, because I was, like, the quirky little nerd. So did you find that when you were coming up?
Of course. All I did was read when I was coming up, like, read. So I'm very artistic. If I wasn't reading, I was drawing. If I wasn't drawing, I was sewing, like, made good grades in school.
Awesome.
Yeah, like, I'm very, like, I have to be doing something creative. I suck at math. I joke with my friends that I have, like, math dyslexia or whatever, and I made it up. But
yeah, algebra. Algebra and geometry.
Yeah.
Oh, letters do not belong. I'm sorry. They do not belong in math. That's just
numbers
my
either. Numbers either.
I can do numbers. Now, if you, I can do money. If it comes to money, yeah, I got my math is on point. But you start throwing letters, formulas, it starts to look like I'm reading Russian.
Right.
So, no. I think it's because
at all.
We're using the creative side of the brain. You know, we think a little outside, because math is exact. There's no changing. It doesn't change. It stays the same. So I guess that's why creative types, we're looking, we like to expand and explore. And math is kind of set. But my husband, he loves math. He will just add something up without even using a calculator. And I mean big numbers. And I'm just looking at him like, okay.
Just like, how?
Here.
How?
Yep. Just to show off. Okay. So let's ask you some personal questions. Not too personal. But what do you like to do when you're not writing?
When I'm not writing, I'm a big reality TV person. So recently, a show that just finished airing was 90 Day Fiancé, Before the 90 Days. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Loved it. I also like Atlanta Housewives. Like, I'm sorry, that's my show. I'm so excited when it comes on. And, of course, I read, too. So when I'm not writing, I'm reading other people's work. And right now I'm actually reading The Help. I've never read the book before, but I love the movie.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, yes, let me read the book.
I know. It gives you so much more when you read the book.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
things
so good
that didn't get done that you couldn't put into movie, because some things just don't transfer well.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my opinion. That's what I think. But, yeah, sometimes I can read a book and see it so well, and I see the movie, and it's like, no, you kind of missed that.
Right.
Not
kind of.
The book is better. You know, because we already had it in our mind, and then if we don't see it the way that it's on the page, we're like, man, look at this author just telling them to do that to her.
Right.
Because, like, you were just taking off. But, you know. So what else do you have, like, any hobbies that you like to do?
Hobbies? Not really. I like to I'm a very arcade person. I like to go to the arcade, play games. And I just like to, like I say, do different creative things. Me and my friend, we're doing a pottery class Saturday. We did like a virtual fighting game thing last week. So just different things, you know, just exploring different, I guess, creative avenues for me.
Yes. I like playing The Sims game and creating stuff, like designing the house.
My sister loves that.
Yes. Everything. I outline my stories on there. I make my characters.
My sister
like my
loves
entire town is just each one of my books has a town. I make all the characters in it. So I get to watch my characters. I know, even the kids, and we kind of make a joke out of it. And if something new comes up, hey, you want this stuff back? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to add to my story. So what's your favorite thing to do while you're writing? Do you listen to music as you write, or do you have something favorite that you like to do?
I actually just watch TV, really.
While you're
it's
writing?
It's funny because... Each time I do an interview, people say what you just said. I can't do that. And then they ask, they're like, so what are you watching when you're writing? And I'm all like, oh, you know, everything. Like, it's just not like one specific genre. Like, I can be watching The Office and I'm just over here writing. Just it doesn't bother
me.
No,
that I can see. That I can see. Sometimes it's just the background, I guess.
Yes.
I can do that when I'm editing. Yeah, like I don't know if I can't really pay attention to a show if I'm, like, writing.
I do the opposite when I'm editing. Like, I'll pause it and because I want to read it out loud to see, you know, if I catch any mistakes. But when I'm writing... it'd be on full blast. I'm writing. I'm laughing as I'm watching the show, too.
Oh, wow. You are multi-talented. I can't do that.
Thank you.
Now, I can actually read and watch TV at the same time. That I can do.
I can't do that one.
Because I was like, I'm watching two stories at the same time. That's right.
Yes.
See, I can't write, but I can read and watch TV and keep up with both stories.
Oh, see, no.
Because I was like, aren't you, if you're reading, well, I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. Well, what did they do? I said, yeah, he's about to do this and this and this. And yeah, he's going to do that. And then I'll go back to reading.
I said, they're like, wow, she's actually looking, paying attention to both. Like, wow.
Yeah, it's funny. I can't write that way, but I can read that way, but I can't because I'm too busy trying to keep up with, you know, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. So I can't, like, work that way. But, yeah, but editing, I can watch something and edit because that I'll go back and keep reading it several times, especially like when the commercial comes on. Then I'll really focus and go back and say, okay, that looks good.
Moving on to the next part.
Yeah. But yes, so that's, yes, you're very talented if you can sit there and write and watch TV. Wow. Now, I can do it with music. I could, you know, depending on what scene I'm writing, I'll listen to music to put me in that frame of mind. If it's a chase scene, you know, a love scene, then I'll listen to jazz. Stuff like that.
See, I can't do it with music. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. I can't do it with music.
Yeah, like the whole time I'm writing Alejandro, I listened to Latin music. I listened to salsa. I listened to cumbia, mostly cumbia because of where I was writing in Mexico. So I would listen more to cumbia. And it just kind of kept me, even the pace that I was writing, it kind of kept me flowing.
That's so cool.
I think what you do is cool. I was like, I figure out how to do that. That'd be great. So Okay, so what would you say is like the best part of your day?
The best part of my day. This is a good question. Let's see. I want to say maybe after I've come in, you know, I've done everything that I need to do that day, so work, and just come in and relax. I think sitting down, finally getting off my feet and just relaxing.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even just watching TV is relaxing.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. like I'm not having to use my brain as much, I guess.
Yes. Definitely.
So, aren't you thinking, like, no, I'm just winding down. Because if I try to go to sleep, it's too busy. It's too noisy. So if I watch TV, I end up, like, everything kind of calms down, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, do you have, like, any a website or things where readers can find your books and find you?
Yeah,
I found you on Amazon.
and I was going to say Amazon for sure.
Definitely.
I do have a website. It is Flobe, so Floebe, publishing.com. And like you said, Amazon, I'm on Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Kobo, and a few other platforms, but those are like the popular ones. And of course, mm-hmm. I have an Instagram and a Facebook, and they're all Flobe Publishing.
Okay. And how many other authors have you published through Flobe Publishing?
I am the first. And it's telling me, like, when are you going to open it up and start publishing other authors? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't, I don't know if I will or won't.
Yeah, because that's kind of, it's kind of double work until you really get someone in to help take some of the load.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know,
definitely.
You're writing your own stuff and you're looking over someone else's work. And I'm not as picky when I do it as I am with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something just like screams at me. Grammar would probably be the first thing that screams at me. But after that, but if the story's good, I can tell grammar to be quiet. we can fix that. That's not a big deal.
Right. Grammar's the easy part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what gets me is the readability. So I have to. I use software for that because it's just because I can't do
you
that.
You use software for like the editing?
Pro Writing Aid is what I use. And I bought a license. You buy the license for like a year or however long you want to use it, and it's unlimited mm-hmm. use throughout that year, and then you can just renew the license each year. And it helps everything. It analyzes not only grammatical errors, but readability, your style,
mm-hmm.
and how many times you've mentioned one word in a paragraph or a certain area that you may want. And it gives you alternative words that you can
mm-hmm.
use instead of using that same word over and over. Realizes how many people they use that, the word that. I never realized how much that word was used until I used the software. And I got better at it.
I did not. And you don't use the editor at all because you use the software?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I did not. Okay.
That's what I use. Yeah, because I just take the document, put it in, I open it up, and transfer over my document, and then it goes through, it runs through, and then it comes up. You've got this, and it highlights this, that, and like an editor going through your, it'll highlight this, that, and the other, and tell you why. You just click on it. What needs to change here? Well, it would read better this way if you said it this way. And it gives you, you can turn off the rule if you want to, or you can follow the suggestion and change it. And 9 times out of 10, it sounds better than what I was actually trying to say than I said it or wrote it.
That's so cool. You have to send that to me.
Yes, definitely. I've definitely sent it to you. I mean, to me, it's worth it. And it takes a lot of the guesswork out of, you know, the editing. I put it in there and it just, and I go line by line. And it's already highlighted. And instead of having to send it back and forth, I'm going back and forth with the software. But I wanted to say it this way. It reads this way better, you know. And even things that I did, you know, some kind of stickler on certain rules, you know, that we are trying to know coming up, learning English. And I realized we have too many conjugations. Learning Chinese was easier than learning English. I understand why they trip up, because we have so many conjugations to say one thing. And they have one word that says they, us, she, he, they have one word. It just depends on the context of if you're listening the way they say it, that you'll know whether it means they mean they or whether they mean she. But we have so many conjugations, too many. It's not even funny. I believe I learned English.
I believe.
If I were foreign, I was kind of trying to learn this language. It'd be ridiculous. Too many. We change it
up. Too much going on.
We have to add this. Yeah, we have so many different meanings for one word.
Yeah, that's true.
Like
yeah.
Wait. Mm-hmm. And then we got the slang. So.
Yeah, the slang. Like then that. We got what Ebonics and everything. Oh, well, it's a lot.
Yeah, and now we have the what's the generation is the shortened words.
The texting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the texting. That's a whole other. Mm-hmm. You're like, can you not? Because I actually, you know, talk to kids and they talk the way they text.
And they write the way they text too.
And they write the way they text. Exactly. I'm like, that's mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
So anyway, mm-hmm. I have enjoyed having you on the show. And I would like to, you know, talk more. If you want to come back, you're welcome to come back anytime and we can discuss your other books, because I do want others to see your the other series that you have. How many series do you have?
Oh, wow. Let's see. We have the Rosewood series, The Vision, You Can't Escape Destiny, and then the new series, Sins of Heaven. So four.
Okay, four. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I did see there was another one, and you had like a cauldron, and there was like the orange fire underneath it. I can't remember the name of it, but I remember the cover.
I think that's the Rosewood, the Witch series.
Rosewood. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that one looks really interesting too. I was like, okay. So until the second one comes out for You Can't Escape Destiny, I'll start like with the which is what you
yes.
So this one, yeah, this one like it was like you just jump in running. I'm like, hey, no slow start here. I like that. You know?
We'll have time for that.
No. We got to go. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for coming on the show, and you guys really blessed to have met her and to read her books. I think you will really enjoy them, especially if you love paranormal. So why don't you guys have a great night and be blessed and continue to stay safe, because we, you know,
yes.
Kavina is still out there. So thank you once again, and thank you, Desi. And I will send the per writing aid to you. I'm going to email it to you.
Awesome.
To you.
And thank you so much for having me, too. I had so much fun.
Yeah. I did, too. Thank you.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering. MahoganySilvering.net. You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silvering at MahoganySilvering.net. Thank you and good night.